This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Let's take a quick second to remember who's responsible for this.
Trey, that hawk's not going to fly in New York City. Come on.
But like I said, you always have to remember.
I believe in Knicks and their future.
Good the Thursday morning. Well, we're going to try to make a good Thursday morning. You're listening to DCR. We're live every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Give us a call. Today is the day to give us a call, 1-800-919-3776. Make sure you ask Dave how he's doing. He loves it, every second of it. You got me, Rick DiPietro. You got Super Bowl champ Chris Canty, who, by the way, did let you know that even without royalty, the Hawks would be a tough team to beat.
The Hawks, when they were coached by Lord Pierce.
And, of course, a man who's been with the Knicks from the beginning.
I'm on the ship, Omar. I'm on the ship.
That's Dave Rothenberg. We got a fun show planned for you today because, let's face it, you got to laugh to keep from crying. Knicks fans, we're here for you today. We'll try to get you through this together. Luckily for us, the Mets and Yankees both win. You got Islanders back at the Coliseum tonight for Game 3 against the Bruins. We got Islanders and Nets tickets to give away. And as always, on the Thursday at 6:45, we got Knobservations and a double-barreled edition of Did It Happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, let me hand the show off to a man that's officially reached his breaking point.
Get the dogs a turtle?
Yeah, he's going to, I mean, whatever it takes. Not one puppy, but two puppies. That is David Rothenberg.
All right, let's get going. It is June the 3rd, 2021. Very nice job, Rick. You're going to need to buoy me today. I'm depressed. I really am. I mean, you saw it was on the verge of happening. We all thought that they would. I don't want the music. Shut that music off. I don't want it. All right? You thought there was a chance that we would see a game six, and we all thought that yesterday they would show up and compete and play hard and play well. And I guess the way I look at it, Chris, is they're not as good as Atlanta. They're not as good as Miami. When you step up in talent and class, the Knicks were a really good regular season team who probably was not going to compete with any of these big boys in the postseason.
No, Dave, you're right. The Knicks aren't as talented as the Atlanta Hawks, who are facing off against the Sixers in the second round of the playoffs. I'm interested to see how that series goes. But they're not as talented as the Hawks. But still, last night's loss was a disappointment just because Clint Capella was calling you out the day before, saying that they were going to push you around, come to your building, and send you on vacation. And that's exactly what the Hawks did from the opening tip. And so not to say that the Knicks didn't fight back at times last night, especially in the first half. But, I mean, the way that third quarter went and then seeing them lay down in the fourth quarter, it was a little bit of a surprise for me just seeing how that happened as opposed to what we've seen from this team throughout the course of the entire regular season, a team that had a lot of grit, a team that had a lot of fight. It just felt like the Knicks realized in that moment, in that second half, that they just weren't good enough to be able to compete and win against the Hawks.
And offensively, they're not, right? I mean, that's really what it came down to in the series. And you started to see, especially like you mentioned, Chris, late in that game, it's not easy when you can't make shots, and it's so hard every possession to try to score points. I mean, that can't help but creep into the way you play defensively. And, you know, it was a series again. I mean, this is a different animal, the postseason, and we got a firsthand look at that because the Knicks this regular season, they were great, and they took us on this ride. I mean, Dave, you said it at one point this season. It's like, this feels great to actually – I think after a loss – You were a mess. You're like, it's nice because I feel something again.
Yeah, you were sucked back in.
Yeah, but I mean, Trae Young was, I mean, he was the best player in the series. He was. And I mean, that was a huge difference. He was a humongous difference maker. How much easier he made it for not only himself, but for the rest of his teammates.
And not only that, Rico, I think the Hawks front office did a great job of surrounding Trae Young with players that compliment him, right? Because Trae Young on the defensive side of the court, you got to find a way to hide them. They put a lot of size, length, and athleticism in their other positions. And so I think that's why you see the best of Chae Young, especially on this stage in the playoffs, because you have complementary pieces that bring out the best in your star player. You can't say that for Julius Randle with the Knicks. They don't have the right pieces to complement him. And the guy that you felt like could make life a little bit easier in Derrick Rose, he admitted in the postgame last night that he was nicked up. He wasn't at 100%. So things were just going to be that much tougher in Game 5. And now we're talking about the Knicks getting ready for the offseason. Now, I do like the fact that the fans at the Garden at the end of that game stood up and cheered their team, because I think that sends the right kind of message about the support that you're going to get from the fan base for potential free agents or guys that want to force their way out of their current situation via trade. So I think that the Knicks, from what they did in the regular season and what the fan base has shown once they started letting people back in MSG, I think that's a good sign moving forward in terms of being able to attract players that can improve the talent base.
They pretty much had as good a season as you could have asked for. They won 41 games. The coach was sensational. For the regular season, Julius Randle was sensational. R.J. Barrett did take that next step. Derrick Rose was a great acquisition. You got, you know, additions from Alec Burke, who you didn't think you would, and Reggie Bullock. But I go back to my point when we started the show. I mean, at the end of the day, this team's just, they're not like that. They're not a four seed. They're not a very good basketball team. And when a team game plans for them and has a talented team on the other side, the Knicks can't compete. They wouldn't have competed with Milwaukee. They wouldn't have competed with Miami. Remember, Atlanta was the team we wanted. Atlanta, ooh, thank God we got Atlanta, because it could have gotten ugly if you played one of the other teams. Well, let's be honest here. It got very ugly against Atlanta. Atlanta could have swept that series. Easily. Atlanta was clearly and is clearly the better team.
Yeah, but time out. I mean, we said yesterday, though. I mean, you say that, and that's how they felt. I'm sure that's how everyone in Atlanta felt. But you look at game one. I mean, that's, you're a turnover away from probably winning that game. And we go into last night's series tied 2-2.
It's true.
I mean, that's the difference in these games. I mean, it's true. It's
but
a couple
in, but
possessions
in watching
here and there.
That series, the Knicks, they can play that series 10 times. The Knicks are not winning that series.
I don't disagree with you, but I think when we were having the conversations leading up to the postseason, and I was adamant, like all the people talking about how disappointed you'd be and everything else, I mean, it was Atlanta was the team that if you had any hope to win a series, this was the team that you wanted to play, because it wasn't, oh, we're definitely going to win the series. If we wanted any hope to actually win a series, it was this series.
Correct.
And it turns
it just
out,
I mean, to show you how far they are, that this was the series that you're like, all right, if we have any chance, this is the series we want. And you still lost in five. God forbid you played Miami or Milwaukee or somebody else.
Yeah, Dave, you're right. But I think it was a surprise. I know it was a surprise to me, and I'm sure it's a surprise to a lot of Knicks fans that this wasn't a long series. Like, I thought it would be more competitive. Even if the Knicks didn't find themselves on the winning end of it, the fact that it didn't go six or seven games, I'm a little bit shocked. But I think the silver lining within that, Dave, is that you can't romanticize where this team is at right now. You can't play fantasy land and say to yourself as a fan that we're really close to being able to compete with the upper echelon teams in the Eastern Conference. You're not there. And with all the impending free agents, there's a lot of work for Leon Rose and that Knicks front office to do this offseason. But I think that this year was about changing the culture, building the foundation for what this team would be about in future seasons, establishing an identity. And I think the Knicks did that. This is going to be a team that's built on grit and built on being able to play defense. They just got to find more playmakers on the offensive side of the court. So they do have the ammunition. You're talking about $60 million in cap space going into the summer, and you have two first-round draft picks, I think 19th and 21st. So it's not like they don't have the ammunition to be able to add to this roster and being able to bring in better talent. But I just feel like when you start comparing the Hawks and the Knicks, it's clear to me that the Hawks are a better team, but I didn't expect the gentleman sweep. I didn't.
No, I don't think anyone did. I mean, this is one of those series that it could have, I think, in a lot of people's opinions, gone either way. I mean, there were, you know, Atlanta in six, or I heard a lot of, you know, Knicks in seven. Like, everyone thought that was going to be that closely contested of a series. It just, I mean, Trae Young in his first, you know, postseason experience, I mean, he rose to the challenge, and it looked like he loved every second of it. You saw him last night. You know, bowing, going back and forth. What are you going to spit on me next? Like, he was just, he rose to the occasion. Yeah, and that's what separates, but I mean, isn't that what separates good players from great players?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, I think when Atlanta made the deal with, you know, with Dallas, where, you know, Dallas got Doncic and, you know, Atlanta wanted Trae Young, and this is what they expected from him. They expected him at some point to blossom into a superstar. And, you know, after watching him in this first, you know, this first series, where I would imagine, you know, the focus of what the Knicks were trying to do was going to be to slow down Trae Young, which, you know, obviously they couldn't do because it felt like he got whatever he wanted when he wanted it. I mean, especially last night, 18 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, he's 15 free throw attempts and everything else. And the sick part is he didn't even shoot well from three.
No. Not at all.
And I don't think he shot well from the field, period.
Philly.
Ugh.
Yeah. With a compromised Joel Embiid. God, I can't stand Atlanta, man. I mean, Chris, you mentioned it. Like, everything going into this game.
But you can't root for Philly.
No, you can't root for anyone.
Both teams to lose in the series, Dave?
Right? If it's possible.
And I don't like Brooklyn either.
I don't like any of it. I hate all of it. Especially going into last night. I mean, it's like I found myself last night like so emotionally invested in the game that I was like, I felt like Dave for a second. I was getting so frustrated. I'm like, this team called you out. They called you out. They said you're fake tough. Yeah, but we cannot lose this game. And then as soon as it started to go sideways, I was like, oh no.
And you saw how Clint Capella started that game, Rico.
Oh, he was on fire. Yeah,
absolute fire.
He's good.
No, he is a good player, Dave, and he set the tone. It's just frustrating because, you know, it seems like the Atlanta Hawks had a formula and they just executed it to a T, and there was nothing that the Knicks could do to
stop
it.
That's 100%.
Like, you knew the high pick and roll was coming every single game. We talked about it before the series even tipped off, and the Knicks couldn't do anything about it. Now, the other thing that surprised me in this series is I didn't think Atlanta was capable of playing this kind of defense. Like, I know that the Knicks are offensively challenged, but it also felt like the Hawks ratcheted up a notch on the defensive end. Like, they put the clamps on the Knicks, and at times, the Knicks' offense didn't even look functional. Like, I mean, there was a time where Julius Randle had a turnover in the third quarter. He's throwing it to the scorer's table.
Yep.
That's how flustered he was in that game. So, I mean, to be able to force Julius Randle, who's the league's most improved player and all-star this year, into a series where he shot less than 30%, I just didn't think the Hawks were capable of being able to do that.
He was terrible in the series. And you guys want to say point guard, whatever you want to say, that's fine. I mean, coming into the series, we said the two keys are what is Trae Young and what is Julius Randle. And Trae Young was phenomenal, and Julius Randle, for whatever reason, was not. And I think it's a huge blow to the Knicks to have your best player not play at that level. And for the Hawks, their best player did.
But I think I mean, you mentioned it. Like, I mean, I just think that in this situation, you're asking Julius Randle. I'm not making excuses for him because he had an awful series, but you're asking him to do more than he's capable of doing. Like, you're putting him in a spot now, and you saw last night. He had 8 turnovers last night. Like, there were times in the series that you started having flashbacks of what you saw last year from Julius Randle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one that we're like, oh, we got to get rid of this guy. He's overwhelmed. Like, let's get rid of him. So I'm not going to make excuses for him, but again, Chris, you mentioned the defense with Atlanta. Yeah, it's an improved defense, but this is for them. I mean, they had to be salivating with this matchup just because of how bad offensively the Knicks are.
Yeah.
They're talking about it last night. Like, could we try to drag Clint Capella away from the rim at some point?
They don't have any guys to score.
Exactly right. They couldn't do it. So, I mean, he's just camped out. Well, you heard Wally last night. Like, it's hard enough to break someone down and get to the bucket. And you just finally get to the bucket and just Clint Capella's just, you know, they kept using lurking. And I thought, you, Dave, every time they said it, he's just lurking.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
In that case, no. In that situation,
there's nothing. Online lurking, there's nothing wrong with it.
But it was just, Atlanta had too much firepower. Like, watching them on offense compared to what the Knicks are doing on offense, it was like they were playing
a different level.
It was like a different sport. I mean, it was just so hard level for the Knicks offensively.
Every possession, you feel like it's so difficult. Forget about scoring. Just getting a good look, it's so hard for them to get that. And Atlanta comes down, and it's like, if they make it or not, wide open three for Collins, Bogdanovich, Gallinari, it doesn't matter. Trae Young, again, you mentioned it. Trae Young didn't even shoot well, but every time they needed an open look, they got it. Now, whether they made it or not is a different story, but the Knicks, just to get a good look is so hard for this team.
Dave, but I think the best thing that Trae Young did yesterday was control the tempo of the game. And that, to me, was the glaring difference between the Hawks offense and the Knicks offense. Because when it was the right time for the Hawks to push it, Trae Young did that. When it was time to slow it down and get into your half-court set and execute the pick and roll, Trae Young did that. I mean, he was able to break down the defense off the bounce and get the ball to their shooters. Like, it just felt like at every turn, Trae Young was making the right decisions with the basketball. And when you don't have a guy on the other end, when the Knicks don't have a point guard – that can swing the momentum back into the Knicks' favor, Like that, you're going to get a third quarter like we saw last night, where you have six turnovers. That's what happens. And so I just feel like there's got to be so much emphasis on the Knicks finding the right point guard that's going to be the right fit with Tibbs and what this team is going to keep moving forward.
I mean, you had the first half of that game, right? I mean, it's you go into the half and you felt lucky you're only down 5 points. I mean, but you're down, but you're still down five. And Atlanta was 3 of 17 from three.
Yeah, you knew that wasn't going to.
And you're still down, and you're like, okay. Well, I mean, they start making these shots. It's going to be a wrap. And again, it ends up being the third quarter. And I mean, you scored 15 points. 15 points you scored in the third quarter. I mean, I mean, for me, it comes down to this: is you had one player in Trae Young, who, again, in the most important position in the sport, which is the point guard, was getting what he wanted when he wanted it, and was, you know, distributing the basketball, making it easier for his teammates. I tell me the player on the Knicks that does that.
You don't have that. At all. You don't get easy points. You don't get wide open looks. Offense is a tremendous challenge for this team. You know what we should do? Forget about the Knicks today. I don't want to get into it anymore. Let's just do 2 hours and 45 minutes of observations. Can we do that? Is there enough bad things happening in the world that you could carry it for 2:45?
I could find them, but I think we need to be here for the Knicks fans today.
Those were huge fat people.
Well, how about for me?
I think all of us. That's why I said in the open, we got to get through this together. We got to get through it together, and we got to have some laughs. We got to keep people laughing. Because I could break down at any moment. I could break down at any moment.
You have any jokes? Any knock-knock jokes for us?
Knock-knock jokes.
Yeah.
Last time I told the joke, I got in trouble.
Great.
Yeah, so let's avoid that because I can't clean it up.
Great.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a knock-knock joke for you, Rick. You want one?
I do, yeah.
All right, knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow.
Moo!
What do you call a cow with no legs?
What?
Ground beef.
Well, that's not bad.
That's one of Milo's go-tos right there.
I like that. Would you go to therapy with me?
You need therapy, Dave?
I could use some therapy today, yeah. Absolutely.
What do you call a woman with two arms and one leg?
I guess I'll buy what?
Eileen.
I like that joke. That's funny. That's a name you don't hear very often now, huh?
No, Eileen. Not a lot.
It's kind of gone out at the way with the 50s, huh?
Yeah, you don't really see that, like top children's names. You don't really see Eileen.
No. No, absolutely not. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's hear from Tom Thibodeau, and then we'll hear from you. Here is Coach Tibbs, speaks highly of what the Knicks were able to accomplish in what was overall a very successful season.
It's a great group of guys, from top to bottom, and there's, you know, as could be expected, the disappointment of losing a playoff series, but also I think they know that they've given everything that they have. And once you do that, that's all you can do. So I think they're proud of what they accomplished. You know, I don't think anyone saw them, you know, doing what they did. Everyone doubted them all year. They didn't doubt themselves. And so there was a great belief. They worked as hard as you could possibly work. They shared. They sacrificed. They did all the things that you can ask for from a team.
I think we saw why everybody doubted them all year in the playoffs, right? I think that in NBA circles, they probably looked at this team, Chris, and they're like, come on, this 41 wins, a great story. He's a good coach. Randall's had a great season, but give us the Knicks in the postseason because we don't believe. And you know what? The truth is, that is what happened. That is what they were.
No, you're right, Dave. I mean, listen, everybody plays hard in the regular season. So that's how, I mean, not in the regular season, in the postseason. And so that's when you start to see the glaring talent deficiencies that the Knicks had. I mean, they had a 41-win regular season, but that's because teams are up and down in terms of their effort and their compete level, and the Knicks were consistent in both regards all year long. So I think that's why we saw them be able to get that fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. But from a talent standpoint, they're not as good as what you would consider an upper echelon team in the NBA. You're not that kind of team, and so I think Knicks fans got slapped in the face with the reality that we're just not as close as we thought we were. But I think that's going to ultimately help the Knicks along in terms of being able to make the right decisions about what they should do with this team moving forward. Like, I don't think there's any confusion about them, you know, needing to upgrade the talent and needing to move on from certain guys that are impending free agents, because the Knicks aren't going to be able to be good enough unless they do so, if you're talking about winning and trying to get into the advanced rounds of the playoffs.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. 800-919-3776. Can I make a request today? Please not how you doing. I'm not doing great, really. I mean, the team just got hammered. They're out in five. They're done for the year. It was a great regular season, and you were happy that they were the fourth seed. But can we avoid the how you doing today, Rick? Is that possible?
Yeah, I would imagine any Knicks fan that's going to call is going to feel the same way you feel. I'm just going to need more from you today, though. I mean, we get it. I mean, we're all hurting here. Well, I'm going to need you to, you know, pick people up.
Why should
that's
I
what
have
I need from
people?
You today.
Why should I have to pick people
because
up?
Because it's your job today. That's what I'm tasking you with emotionally supporting the people that call in, because
no,
they're hurting
Chris
too.
Should do that. Chris is not.
Chris
broken
has got his
today.
Own issues
Chris
with the Lakers.
Will be broken tomorrow.
So. Yeah, Chris has his own issues right now with the Lakers.
We got issues, but I wouldn't bet against LeBron. I'll put it to you that way. I feel a lot better about our chances in Game 6. I do. Just saying.
No, listen. I'm just talking about the series. You guys may win Game 6 in L.A., but
yeah,
you're going to bet against LeBron in Game 7.
Going back to Phoenix with no AD.
If you don't have, yeah.
I don't know. I got to see how Game 6 goes first.
I'm not going to bet against LeBron in a Game 7. All right, if they're able to get it to that.
You'll be emotionally supportive of the Knicks fan today, right, Chris?
I got you guys, Dave. I got
see?
You guys.
See, yeah. That's what we need, and he will. Let's go to John in Riverdale. Good morning, John. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Look, you know, the Knicks weren't going to win the series anyway, so wouldn't you just rather just pull it off like a Band-Aid right away and just get it over with?
No.
At least they got their playoff experience?
No. First of all, the playoff experience, I don't know how many of these guys are going to even be here next year. Second of all, why would I rather get hammered in five and not compete than lose a tough ground-out series in seven? No.
No, Dave, I agree with you, but look.
You just said the opposite. How can you agree with me? You just came on and said something completely different.
No, you're right, but hold on. That's not really where I called. You guys just brought this up, and I just decided to go with that. But here, anybody that says that, you know, that tanking to get picks and not making the playoffs has no value, I mean, look. At least if they make the playoffs next year, they actually have a taste of what they went through this year going towards next year. And they actually might have a better result next year than what just happened now.
Well, you hope so. This was year one. I mean, that's what we forget sometimes. This is year one. Like, the goal this year we had, before the season even started, no one even thought the playoffs was a possibility.
If they would have won 30 games this year, right now we'd be saying, boy, what a job the Knicks did. They won 41 and made it to the postseason with home court advantage.
Yeah, and then it went from that. I mean, once all of a sudden we saw this, okay, I mean, this has turned into a pretty good team. Then it was, well, let's just, you know, get into that play-in tournament. Just get into that play-in tournament. Get the kids the experience. Get in the play-in tournament. Then it turned from, oh, no, we wouldn't be happy with a play-in tournament. You got to get into a series. And then all of a sudden you lock up the four and you got the Hawks. And I can listen to people, if they lose to the Hawks, well, what a disappointing season. No, it's in the
You
moment,
know what the
yeah.
one I love, Rico? The one I love was we got to reset expectations. We got to reset expectations.
Unfortunately for the Knicks, that doesn't reset the roster. That's the problem. Like, you can reset your expectations, but it doesn't change the players that are on the court. Like, they got exposed in this series, right? Like, you got a chance to see what this team needs to improve in this series. Julius Randle wasn't great. Well, hopefully that changes in, you know, in his second foray into the postseason. You know, RJ Barrett wasn't great.
He got outplayed by DeAndre Hunter.
He
went
not
a pick
good
after
in the
he did. Yeah,
he was not good in the series.
D yeah. Rose broke down. I mean, again, you heard us.
Which
you kept
we knew.
Us.
Which everyone's saying it. Oh, just keep get him in the starting lineup. Play him. Why can't you play him 35, 37, 40 minutes a game? There's no reason you can't. Well, this is why. Because he didn't have a lot of mileage left, and that's why when he came here originally, it was, you know what, you could play him 25, maybe push him to 30 minutes a game. Well, just play him 40 minutes. You can't do it. You never could.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Did I hear, Rick, that you have more than one did it happen in Florida today? Is that accurate?
Double barrel D-hip today. Yeah, I figured we needed it today. Don't you?
I think desperately.
Yeah, so I mean, one is good, two is better.
There you go.
Not only, listen, I got one. I mean, I got one that's it's crazy, but the best part of the second one is it's actually a story that's actually potentially related to another story we've already done in DHIF.
Oh. Mm. An update. Where are they now version of DHIF, huh?
Yes. I am tying things together, David.
Do you think that we will remember the original story from Did It Happen in Florida?
I do.
Oh, good.
I do believe that, yeah.
And I greatly look forward to this. I promised you. He promised you. I went to bat for him. He is not disappointed. He is Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning, everybody. Because it was not a great regular season, it was a good regular season. And
it's not fair, Omar.
The postseason just put something that the New York Knicks got. And you are back to square one. Is Julius Randle your number two, three? I don't even consider him number three, what he showed in this playoff series. So I will time in, take a team option, and try to trade him in off season. If he continues, we cannot trade him, and if he performs to the level, we will talk next season for the extension. If they ever give that extension of $100 million or $80 million or anything 4 years to him, he is not the man. Sorry. He gave us a good regular season, and then he gave us a miserable playoff that I cannot even recover. Okay? So don't put me too high that I can explode from the 20th floor roof and fall down that I cannot recover. So don't tell me, oh, you are all NBA team. Oh, they're not.
I got to be honest, and I can barely. I don't even know what he's saying. I'm uncertain as to what he's saying at the moment. I heard Julius Randle disappointed in him. Great regular season, awful postseason. Doesn't want to pay him, but then it just became like a word salad, and I had no idea what he was saying.
I didn't either, Dave. He lost me on the back half of that call. But I will say this, man: we gotta stop overreacting to Julius Randle's struggles in the playoffs. It was his first time being in the playoffs. And Tibbs talked about it a little bit in the post game last night. He said it's always going to be a learning curve when it comes to trying to figure out how to have success with playoff basketball. And you're just hoping that the guys are going to be able to bank this experience and that it's going to bode well for them moving forward. Like, Julius Randle knows he has to be better. There's no question about that. But, I mean, seeing the improvement that he made from his first year to the Knicks and to what he is now under the first year with Tibbs, like, there's no reason to think that he's not going to be back in the lab working this summer in order to be able to take that next step if and when the Knicks get back to the postseason. So I just feel like you have to look at it as a learning experience. It was house money once the Knicks got into a real playoff series, and the fact that they had home court advantage, I mean, it just speaks to the kind of dream season that it's been for Knicks fans. Even though it didn't end the way that you wanted it to, you can't overreact and throw out what Julius Randle did during the regular season. You just can't do that. You try to offer him the most money that you can this offseason with the hopes that he would take it. Because you got to start somewhere in terms of being able to have foundational pieces. I believe with his performance this year, he's proven himself to be worthy of that.
I mean, I'll say it. You guys don't want to say it. That's one of Omar's worst calls ever.
Terrible call.
Awful call. I expected way more. Way more from him.
Well, he just poo-pooed the whole season. In Omar's defense. The only thing I'll say in Omar's defense is he's obviously broken. Like, the Knicks broke him. He loves them. That's one of his favorite things in life, and he's irrational at the moment. I understand that. You've never been in the heat of the moment where you've done something that you look back on and you regret. I think that's where Omar is right now.
Yeah, but the call this morning, I get you're upset. We're all upset. And they just completely poo-poo the entire season. Like everything that this team achieved this season. Unexpectedly, I may add. Like, I mean, the regular season happened. Like, Julius Randle was an all-star. Julius Randle was most improved player. Julius Randle's probably going to be on one of the all-NBA teams. Like, that happened. You can't just dismiss all of that.
No, you absolutely can't.
I don't think any of us. Here's the thing, though. You're delusional to think going into the series that Julius Randle was, you know, was a number one on the team that was going to make a playoff run.
The one thing that I think we thought and is completely hammered home right now is Julius Randle cannot be your best player. He's very good. He cannot be your best player.
Yeah, but who thought that, though? No one thought that. I didn't think that.
I didn't think it either.
I think he needed. I thought he needed
rumblings of this guy's just sensational, and watch him carry this team in the postseason. Rick, everyone thought they were going to win the series. How do you think they thought they were going to win the series?
Because of Julius Randle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, listen, we heard the MVP chance, too. Like, people were calling for Julius Randle to be in that conversation, but you realize, like, he's just not on that level when it comes to the number one stars across the NBA. He's not. But, I mean, in today's NBA, if you're going to compete at the highest level, you need multiple stars. So what's wrong? What's the downside in giving Julius Randle the largest contract extension that you possibly could? What's the downside to giving him that four-year extension for $106 million? To me, I don't see one. I don't. And especially knowing that if he continues to improve, it's going to cost you $80 or $90 million more to try to extend him in the summer of 2022. So it just makes sense if you're the Knicks, if you're Leon Rose, to try to get something done this offseason and lock this guy in, because he's a player that you can continue to build around.
That call really frustrated me. It really did. I get the emotion, and he's upset. But, I mean, just to completely dismiss what this Knicks team did.
It's not
season.
Fair.
It's not, I mean, fair come to them.
On.
It isn't.
Think
this
of
is year
all,
one.
Yeah,
it's
think
year
of
one.
All the great moments they gave you. Really. I mean, they won 41 games. The expectation was, what, 22.5? They won 41. They were the 4 seed. They got into the actual playoffs. Yes, these 5 games stunk. They stunk. But you know what? Let's give them credit for what they did in the regular season. A little bit today, no?
I think we have to a little bit. And I understand if you're not going to do that, but just to... I can't take just completely dismissing everything. These guys work too hard. They work too hard. They gave me too much.
This is nice, by the way. Nets fans, make sure you're at Barclays Center to watch the Nets take on the Milwaukee Bucks in round 2 of the NBA playoffs. Tickets are on sale right now, so visit brooklynnets.com to get your tickets today. Keep it locked into the 6 a.m. hour today for your chance to score a pair of tickets to game 1 on Saturday night. And I think what you'd have to say is going to be the best series that we've seen so far in the postseason. Bucks and Nets is a bear of a second-round series. Let's go to James and Elizabeth. James, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hello.
Hello, James.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This was in the beginning of the season. I was going to see like an all youth lineup with Emmanuel Quickley, R.J. Barrett, Knox, Julius Randle, and Mitchell Robinson. And Tom stubbornly put together a roster and stayed with it the entire season until the playoffs came. And then he was a one-trick pony. Every time he was calling timeouts, it was to make a defensive adjustment. But he never made an offensive adjustment so we can go on an 8-0 run or a 10-0 run. And it was just the same thing. I mean,
James,
it was so
what did you want him to do? Seriously, I want you to completely explain it. What did you want him to do with the pieces and the – and I use an air quotes, weapons that he has.
There were times during the season I wondered what Obi Toppin and Julius Randle would look like playing on the floor together. But all I got was Taj Gibson and Julius Randle. You know, and there's nothing there. I wondered what Emmanuel Quickley and Kevin Knox would look like, on the floor together. What not Kevin Knox and R.J. Barrett would have looked like playing together. Kevin Knox never even got to play.
And you think that was the plan? You think that was what he wanted, to not play Kevin Knox coming into the season?
If you watch coaches like Rick Carlisle, who all season he had so many different lineups, and he's coaching.
Do me a favor, Raymond. Hang up on him. I can't sit here and do this, Rick. I can't. I'm serious.
Why can't you drop a play so we can go on like an 8-0, 10-0 run?
Yeah.
I think that's what they're trying to do.
Sit here and you're going to hammer real coaches like Rick Carlisle.
Who's
and
got
Doc
Luka
Rivers.
Doncic? Who's got Luka Doncic?
I mean,
Doc Rivers, who has
God
Kawhi
sakes.
Leonard and Paul George.
This is what happens, though, Dave. I'm telling you, and this is why I was going at it back and forth, because everyone was setting this team up. Every single person on the radio, on TV, was setting this team up. I would be so disappointed if this team loses to Atlanta.
But these are terrible.
Even if they lost to Miami, I'd be upset. Come on, man. Stop it, please. It's a different. The postseason is a different ball game. It's a completely different game.
Oh, why didn't we see Kevin Knox? Kevin Knox is not playable. I mean, at one point in the season, at one point, did you ever clamor, "Boy, I'd love to see Obi Toppin and Julius Randle on the floor together"? No.
Obi Toppin for most of the season was unplayable. You couldn't play him.
It was bad.
Lost.
Like, there were people that were calling for Obi Toppin just to be out of the rotation, and they kept playing him. I was actually. You want to take away a couple positives?
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
I mean, the way Quickley showed up last night, I mean, Obi Toppin, this is the best we've seen him.
I agree.
So, obviously, for those two players, the moment wasn't too big. But, I mean, those weren't going to be the things that swung this series. That wasn't going to happen. Like, who's going to rebound? In all honesty, like, it's not like all of a sudden you throw Obi Toppin out there with Julius Randle and they're going to just, you know what, we'll keep Clint Capella off the floor. We're not going to, you know what, we can't. This doesn't match up well for us.
I mean, not once did I think I need to see Toppin and Randle together, or more Kevin Knox would be the answer. These are terrible takes.
No, we need a point guard, what we need.
Yeah, you need a point guard. But fans also got to understand, like, the biggest thing that Tibbs had to do when he took this job was to change the culture. And you don't change the culture by handing guys minutes or handing guys jobs. Like, it has to be a meritocracy. You have to earn everything that you get. And so when it comes to players like Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina, young guys that, you know, you maybe wanted to see more of, I mean, the fact is that Tibbs didn't trust those guys enough. He didn't felt like those guys earned the opportunity to try to contribute to this team. So you can't be mad at Tibbs for not playing those guys, especially when you see the success that this team had in the regular season. You can't. You just got to chalk it up to those guys not being good enough and probably not being a part of the long-term future of the Knicks, which I'm perfectly fine with.
And he showed you, and he basically told you, if you're worthy of getting playing time, you're going to play. And, I mean, it didn't take a rocket scientist to watch Obi Toppin in the regular season and think to themselves, this kid is nowhere near being able to play in the NBA.
I mean, you saw what he was trying to do, too. I mean, we talked about this a bunch of different times with people calling in Alfred Payton has to sit, Derrick Rose has to be in the starting lineup. And you saw how that affected, you know, now the bench isn't the weapon it's been during the regular season. Now the bench is struggling.
And Derrick Rose can't play those kind
of games. And now Derrick Rose starts breaking down. I mean, how many games, listen, as good as the Knicks are defensively, how many games are you going to win in this NBA when you can't get to 100 points?
Yeah, you're not going to win a lot of games averaging 97 points a game.
Right. No. Yeah, well, you're going to lose in a series 4-1 and look non-competitive is how you're going to look. I need the level of caller to bring it up today, by the way.
Yeah, I expect more. That's up. Listen, first couple, get it out of your systems. Let's go. Come on.
All right, let's go. Let's go to Dante in Newark. Dante, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Oh, God. Here we go. Dante, we're not doing well. It was a rough night. The Knicks lost 5, but we are alive and we're here.
Me either. I'm just upset at the fact that these guys have been there. Like Canty said, this is their first year in. Give them time to try to develop. Yes, we do need other players on a team that can contribute offensively, but with Omar talking about don't sign this man to a contract, these are the things that stops your Kyrie Irvings and Kevin Durant from wanting to come to New York. People not giving you time to get what they want. These are the things that stop them from playing, wanting to come to New York to play for the Knicks. Because I can guarantee you, if they don't win the championship with the Nets, you will not hear any of this craziness how these fans are going out there. They'll have another year to get it done. I've seen James Harden in Houston lay eggs in the playoffs year after year. You don't hear anything about that with him. But if he played in New York City for the Knicks like that, oh, my God, he would never hear the end of it. That's what stops them from coming to play for these teams.
No, I think that's what it bothered me. Omar's call bothered me. And that's what – listen, I don't necessarily think that, you know, how fans reacted to, you know, this loss is going to affect, you know, what superstar wants to sign with the Knicks. I think you look at this Knicks team, how it's coached, you know, how far it's come in just one season. Like, this would be – for me, this would be, you know, an attractive place to come play. What bothers me, and I'm sure it would bother players too, is that – because of what you just saw over the last 5 games, you're willing to just all of a sudden just throw aside everything that they have achieved. Everything they accomplished this season just goes right out the window.
This was a great season. It was a frustrating end. It was a great season. And I do think they changed the narrative surrounding the team. I think if you're somewhere else in the NBA, you look at the Knicks now and you take a second notice. You take a real second look and say, hang on, they won 41 games with that. The crowd was at a fever pitch all year. The people who couldn't wait. I mean, they win a playoff game and they're mobbing the streets in New York City. Give me some of that. I want to be involved in that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Dave. And for the first time in a long time, it actually feels like it's a functional franchise. Like, not only the move that they made to bring over Derrick Rose, but to me, the moves that they didn't make preseason and in season. Like, the fact that the front office showed some restraint and they were rewarded with being able to have a 41-win season and get the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference and have home court advantage in the first round. Like, to me, that shows that you got people that are in charge that know what the hell they're doing. And they're not going to go out and have knee-jerk reactions. And so I think if you're a player around the NBA that's looking for a change of scenery, like, the Knicks would be one of those teams that's on your list of potential destinations. Just because it feels like the infrastructure has been put in place for you to be able to have success.
It's amazing to me. I mean, we sit here, we have people calling it all the time. I'm getting so turned off with the NBA. None of these teams take the regular season serious. This is a joke. Okay, well, if that's how you feel, I mean, you just had a team that had an unbelievable regular season. Now you're just willing to just throw it. Just, yeah,
that's right.
No big deal.
Because you play to whatever narrative you're looking to play to. That's what people do. Let's go to John in Brooklyn. Good morning, John. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Oh, here we go. John, we're depressed, we're saddened, and we're horrified at what happened to the Knicks. Okay,
I hear you. Me too. Here's the deal. I think Tom Thibodeau let the team down. He didn't adjust his offense. Defensively, they've done what they've done all year. He should have posted up Bullock. You got Trae Young on you. He should have posted up Randle to help him out because he wasn't having a good series. All in all, Knicks had a great year. I thought they was going to be a 500 team. They exceeded my expectations. I'm looking more for them. Thank you, fellas.
Well, the fact that you thought they were going to be a 500 team means you had some real optimism heading into the season. They had a great year, and I think you have to remember that as we sit here in a state of flux today after they got hammered by Atlanta. This was a great year, and this, more importantly than winning games, I think it changed the outlook on the Knicks organization surrounding the NBA, and I think that's huge for them.
The Knicks didn't make shots. I mean, was I surprised a little bit that you didn't see, you know, Julius Randle posted up more? I was a little bit surprised. I surprised they didn't run Trae Young through more screens and make it more difficult on him? Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. But it's the Knicks offense isn't very good.
It's bad.
I was trying to be nice.
It's bad.
Knicks offensively are offensive. It's not good.
The Knicks offensively are offensive.
Yeah, but it's hard to be overly critical of Tibbs because we know from a talent standpoint they have some deficiencies. So to sit here today and say, well, it's Tibbs' fault that they lost to the Hawks in five, I can't put that on him, man, because, I mean, you want him to make all of these different adjustments, but at the end of it you got to realize he just doesn't have the talent to be able to compete with the Atlanta Hawks. They just don't. It's not like the Knicks didn't play hard. It's not like they didn't try to execute. It's just that they don't have the pieces that the Atlanta Hawks have. And the Hawks, from a matchup standpoint, create some problems for what the Knicks have. So I think folks have got to pipe down a little bit when it comes to being critical of Tibbs and his adjustments throughout the course of this series, just because you realize, from a talent standpoint, the Knicks are nowhere close to where the Hawks are at.
It would have been different if they would have posted up Reggie Bullock. Yeah, that would have made all the world a difference.
It's not a good matchup for them. I mean, in all honesty, it's not a great matchup for them. They've always...
Rick, you said that. What would have been a good matchup for them? Miami? Milwaukee? Brooklyn? What would have been a good matchup
for
them?
No, I don't think any of them are great matchups.
No.
I just don't... I mean, I don't think, you know, talent-wise, they're at that level. But I just mean, like, the Knicks don't do well with a point guard like Trae Young. They have a hard time defending Trae Young. Because when you're offensively challenged, you're going to try to put players out there that can actually score. And Derrick Rose is one of those players that can actually score. Unfortunately for Derrick Rose, he can't defend Trae Young. He can't do it. So you try to put Reggie Bullock on him. Reggie Bullock's not quick enough to defend Trae Young. So Trae Young can get what he wants when he wants it. So now all of a sudden, if he's collapsing your defense every possession he wants to do that, that makes everything easy for everyone around him. The Knicks don't have a player like that, unfortunately.
No, nothing like that.
They try to use Randle like that, but when they try to use Randle like that, he's had some success during the regular season. It was better, but when everyone's paying that much attention to Julius Randle, I mean, you saw last night. I mean, he's turning the ball over. It's just, it looks like with the Knicks, it's okay, here's the ball. See if you can break down the defense. Oh, wait, you can't. So now let's kick it out. Let's see if you can do it. Oh, yep, you can't. And now all of a sudden, let's try to get somewhere. Let's leave our feet. Let's throw the ball to somebody and see, hopefully they can make a shot. As opposed to what you saw with the Hawks, which was Trae Young has the ball, and it felt like they were running the same play over and over and over again.
Beautiful basketball in comparison to what the Knicks were trying to do. Here is Derrick Rose on going up against the best player clearly in this series, Trae Young.
Oh, it's great. Great basketball. I mean, prior to me even playing against him in the series, I've been said that I've always been a fan of his game. I always called him whenever we play. It's like the new era of point guards where he's small. He has to be crafty. He has to his IQ of the game is very high, and he's a tough load. So you have to stick him with all five, especially when they playing the way that they're playing. His teammates believe in him, the coaching staff. Nate has been – he did a great job. Like, man, everything is just falling into place for Trae over there.
Hi, God.
He's a better player too. I mean, you say what you want. I mean, we all hate his guts. I can't stand him. But from where he was last year as far as decision making, like, you know, some of the shots he was taking, turnovers, yeah, really, and everything tough. Else. He's come up like that. Nate McMillan has had a real impact on that group.
Yeah, that was a great hire, huh? To go from Lord
Pierce
to Nate
McMillan.
What
they've been. I mean, look at their record since he's taken over.
What were they, 27-11 in the regular season?
Yeah,
since he took over?
Remember what they looked like defensively, too.
They were awful.
Before they fired Lord Pierce.
Yeah, the Lord.
They were awful.
The Lord.
Yeah. The Hawks, when they were coached by Lord Pierce.
Yeah, he should lose that, by the way. He's not a Lord.
He loses his lordship when he lost his job?
I think you lose your job, you lose your lordship. I think you'd have to. Let's go to Calvin in Queens. Good morning, Calvin.
Morning, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just want to weigh in on these Knicks fans, supposed Knicks fans. Let me call it that. It just baffles me how, okay, all of a sudden, all year long, Tibbs should be in the running for coach of the year. Now they lost in the playoffs. Now he did this wrong. He did. Are you stupid? You went from 22 games to 41. You were to number four. Like, they want magic overnight. Are you kidding me? It's like, look at the teams. Washington got beat 3-1. They have two all-stars, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. So you got Julius Randle, one all-star on your team, and you want him to cross the promised land. And if he don't do it, it's all Tibbs' fault. It sounds stupid. It's ridiculous. I don't even think they're real Knicks fans. They're probably Nets fans undercover calling in, acting like they're Knicks fans. That's all I got to say.
You know what? Good for him. Good for him by calling out the fan that we have heard so far today. But you know what? Here's the thing, Rick. Omar's a Knicks fan. There's no two ways about it. Omar's a passionate, diehard Knicks fan.
Yeah, but Omar's one of those fans that enjoys being miserable. Like, he's looking for reasons to be miserable.
But you can, even if you're like that, even if you enjoy being miserable, you can still have a concept of what the appropriate reaction is today.
No, I think Calvin had it right. Like, they had a great season. Like, all the things you were hoping to see from this Knicks team, and some of the things you had, I mean, you never expected, happened, right? And then you got to the postseason, and you could be disappointed.
And you should be disappointed.
Like, you should be disappointed because you care, because you're fully invested. And I can promise you, everyone inside of that locker room is gutted right now. Gutted. Julius Randle feels awful. Julius Randle, as much as you want to dismiss what he did, I can guarantee you, and in the moment right now, Julius Randle could care less about most improved player and being an all-star. He's focused on right now. How he didn't live up to his end of the bargain in the postseason. And that will eat at him all offseason and good. Only make him better.
Good. Good. I look forward to that next year. Hopefully there's a point guard to make him better.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.